Praise God. Well, how do you like my pants? Let me stand up here so you can see them. You guys, these are my white pants. What do you think? White pants are always in fashion in the D'Souza household. What's the light in here? They're white. Yeah, I mean, basically. And I love white pants. Are you guys down with white pants? They go with everything, don't they? Man, you can have the ugliest shirt hanging on the rack and stick it with some white pants and it just looks all right, you know, because they just go with everything. I love white pants. And you know what else? I hate white pants too. I love them and I hate them. I love them and I hate them. Sound like Gollum in Lord of the Rings, you know? I love white pants because they go with everything. They look good. They make you look good. They slim you down and all that. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, they glow. Just give you that glow, you know? And when you're up here, you need the glow. But I hate white pants. Why do you think I hate white pants? They get dirty, man, at the drop of a pin. I mean, I cannot keep white pants clean to save me. I can buy a pair of white pants before I'm even home. They're stained with something. I don't even use mustard around white pants. Forget about mustard. But I mean, just not even touching anything. I'll look and there's some stain on the pocket. I'm like, where did that come from? And a lot of times, this stuff doesn't even come out. I wash my blue pants, it comes out. I wash my jeans, the stains go out. I wash my camouflage pants, no problem, they're clean. I can wash these pants, these white pants, over and over, pre-treat them, put chemicals and all kinds of bleach and stuff on them. The stains don't come out. It's like it's cursed or something, I don't know. So I love them, but I hate them because they stain so easy. Can you relate to what I'm talking about? Have you all had like just white pants stains? Isn't that horrible? Especially if you pay $30 for a pair of pants and you're not even home and they got stains on them already. I hate that. But as bad as that is, and it's bad, I'm up here talking about it. Must be bad. As bad as that is, that cannot compare. The defilement of stains from white pants cannot begin to compare to the wretched heartache and destruction and damage and pain caused by spiritual defilement. I mean, I just say the word, the lights go down. It's got to be bad. Spiritual defilement. Spiritual defilement will keep you out of heaven. Spiritual defilement will guarantee you a place in hell. Because Scripture says that no one who defiles can enter into that place. Jesus said, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You cannot enter into the holy place of God if you are spiritually defiled. The stakes are beyond description. And I'm speaking about the unsaved at that point, who are walking around many times without even their own being aware of it, that they are spiritually defiled and unfit for heaven. But even for the saved person, and the vast majority of people in this room are saved, possibly everybody. But even for the saved person, spiritual defilement can take place in a sense that will rob your life of spiritual power. It will steal the joy of fellowship from God, with God from you. It'll steal joy. It'll steal your peace. It will rob you of relationship, not only with God, but with your friends, with your family. It creates marital chaos. It creates financial havoc because it opens up the door for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc in your life. Spiritual defilement gives the enemy a foothold in your life. And if he gets a foothold, it's just like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu master. Man, if he's got your foot, he's got you. He'll take your leg. He'll take your spine. He will twist you into a pretzel. That's what Satan does. That's why they say don't even give him a foothold. And one of the worst things about it, after all the chaos, all the destruction, all the heartache, all the discord and disunity, all of the bondage and addiction and depression and dysfunction that spiritual defilement can cause, not only that, but it is near impossible to get rid of. You can't, there is not any religious work you can do. Religion will not cleanse you from spiritual defilement, will it? Religion is dead. It's impotent. It is impossible to cleanse your soul. Doing good deeds, trying to reform your life, just, you know, going out and putting all your effort into various means and ways will not cleanse you of spiritual defilement. It is, and yet it is rampant. It is destructive, it is powerful, and yet it is rampant. And Jesus had some very heavy things to say about spiritual defilement. Not only heavy, but also some very promising, encouraging, powerful things to say about spiritual defilement. So if you have your white pants on today, or even if you don't, we want to look at this. We're going through the book of Mark. We're continuing our study in the book of Mark. We're going to Mark chapter 7. We're going to open a new chapter in the book of Mark. And we're going to find out how to get the stains out of your white pants, spiritually speaking. Mark chapter 7. This is a little bit weird for me. I normally have all this printed out and use different types of colors and highlights and stuff, but I'll just go with the flow, man. I learned at the men's retreat that I'm a soldier. I'm going to endure hardship as a soldier of Jesus Christ, so I don't need my color printer. Boy, I can preach without my color printer. I can do this. Might need some encouragement. But I can do this. All right. Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 1. And this is a little bit long, so bear with me. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, to Jesus, having come from Jerusalem. In other words, these were the guys with the stuff. They were the powerful. These were the guys bringing down the authority. They weren't just local boys. They weren't just your typical homeboy Pharisee guys. They came from Jerusalem. They were on a mission. Having come from Jerusalem. Now, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Say, come wash my couch. Dog hair all over that thing. Dust. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God so that you may keep your tradition. Yeah. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. And many such things you do. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me. everyone, and understand there is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of a man, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, this is something from God. This is something from the Spirit. The natural mind of man won't receive this. This is something that will offend a lot of people in the natural. But if you have ears to hear, if the Lord has quickened your spirit and He is speaking to you, then don't let this go by, because it's important. Lay hold of this. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So when he entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning this parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated?" And some translations have parentheses, "thus purifying all foods," or making all foods kosher. And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and do what? Defile a man." Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And I'm sure the list could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on, because Paul said, "Out in my flesh dwells no good thing." There is nothing good in my flesh. And if I'm walking in my flesh, all I can produce is garbage. Defiling, stench-filled, oozing, messy garbage. And all of these things do what? Say it loud and proud. All these things defile a man. Now, let's get some perspective on this. Going back to the beginning of this passage. If you've been hanging out with us in Mark, you know that this comes on the heels of some amazing miracles. We talked about some of them. What were some of the miracles we were talking about happening? What are some of the things Jesus did? Walked on water. Fed the 5,000. Raised someone from the dead. Stilled the sea. Commanded the forces of nature. Cast out demons. Healed multitudes. Raised the dead. Fed 5,000, fed actually 5,000 men, 20,000 people with a handful of food, walked on the water, and even caused one of his disciples to walk on the water with him. He was doing things unprecedented in the history of mankind to that day. He was literally rocking that world with signs and wonders and amazing things of God, and multiplied multitudes of people were being radically blessed in the process, saved, healed, and delivered.